But we've got to jump into this because we're running out of time. All right. So I'm actually going to read the passage. Well, I'm going to pray first, and I'm going to read, and then we'll get into our passage for tonight. So let's pray. Father, thank you that we're back together, and thank you that we can laugh and joke, be with one another. But I pray that tonight, as we talk about preferring one another and being thankful for one another, that we would truly become the body of Christ, that we would become the place where we get comfort and correction, and most importantly, love, and so that we would be marked by love for one another like your word says. And so I pray for all these students here. I pray for everybody visiting, that you would bring fruit, fruit from your word like you promised to do. And so I thank you for each one who came out tonight and for just the potential in their lives. And please guard what is said by me, by leaders, by the rest of us, that it would all be glorifying to Christ. And I thank you, for this in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, so I'm going to just read. So I'm going to read the passage. So for tonight, it was Ephesians 1, 15 through 23. All right, ready? Here we go. Verse 15. For this reason, because I have heard of your faith in the Lord Jesus and your love toward all the saints, I do not cease to give thanks for you, remembering you in my prayers, that the glory of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give you a spirit of wisdom and of revelation in the knowledge of him, having the eyes of your hearts enlightened, that you may know what is the hope to which he has called you, what are the riches of his glorious inheritance in the saints, and what is the immeasurable greatness of his power toward us who believe, according to the working of his great might that he worked in Christ when he raised him from the dead and seated him at his right hand in the heavenly places, far above all rule and authority and power and dominion and above every name that is named, not only in this age but also in the age to come. And he put all things under his feet and gave him his head over all things to the church, which is his body, the fullness of him who fills all in all. Okay, first, if you notice, this passage starts out for this reason, right? So for is a connecting word. It means that whatever's coming next is predicated on what's already been said. So I want to recap from last week. What do you guys remember from last week? What stuck with you? What are things you're able to apply? Just, I want to hear your thoughts about last week. Elise. Nice. So if you can hear, Elise said that we can be confident in our salvation, right? That first section, you know, one thing about Ephesians chapter 1 is that Paul seems to be so excited. It's one gigantic run-on sentence, right? And so it's all about how the Trinity involved in salvation and how you can be certain of it, which is going to be important into what we talk about. What else? Alec? So we effectively act like binitarians, right? We talk about Jesus and we talk about the Father. And we sadly, I think, neglect the Holy Spirit a lot of times, but it's the Trinity. It's the triune God involved in salvation. Each one has different roles. Each one is a distinct person and they're all involved, right? So salvation is a Trinitarian act. We're really short on time, so I'll just kind of, anybody read this section for tonight? And what stuck out to you about this section, so 15 through 23, what are things that maybe jumped out to you as it connected to the first part, or even separately, just what are ideas you might have about 15 through 23? Alec? What about verse 22? Yeah. Excellent, and we're going to get to that. So that's going to be, as we look through the verses, kind of time permitting, we're going to talk about what, I mean, why is it important that all things are under the feet of Christ? And how do we? How does that play out in our daily life? It's one thing to read about it and like, oh, that just sounds awesome. And it's another thing for it to actually affect your life. And so tonight is going to center around a single question and then just a challenge to you guys. And I don't mean those ignorant challenges like, you know, when your generation eats detergent or they do, you know, a host of other challenges like that. But I want to issue a challenge, like an actual challenge to you guys that's centered around the question from the text. Before that, though, I want to play a clip from one of my favorite comedians that sets this up kind of in contrast. Has anybody heard of Brian Regan? Okay, I love Brian Regan for two reasons. First of all, he's hysterical. Second of all, he's got popular and is still popular because he doesn't swear. None of his comedy is inappropriate. So whenever you watch Brian Regan, it's a... a safe bet that it's going to be suitable for all audiences. And this is perfect. And so this kind of sets up in contrast to what we're going to talk about. And so, Luke, would you mind hitting that clip?
I'm actually kind of quiet off stage. A lot of people don't realize that. I was at a dinner party recently. A bunch of people that I don't know. One guy talking plenty for everybody. Me, myself, right? And then I, and then myself, and me. I couldn't tell this one about I because I was talking about myself, and then me. Beware the me monster. So I tried to jump in with a little story. I don't want to just sit there the whole night. Right when I'm done with my story, this guy goes, "That ain't nothing." Oh, well, didn't mean to waste everybody's time telling my nothing story. Here, let Marco Polo speak. He's back with tales of adventure. My story ain't nothing. Maybe it wasn't, because I made the mistake of trying to tell a story about having only two wisdom teeth pulled, and I learned a lesson. Don't ever try to tell a two wisdom tooth story, because you ain't going nowhere. The four wisdom teeth people are going to parachute in and cut you off at the pass. Halt! Halt with your two wisdom tooth tail! You will never complete one, trust me. I'm trying to tell my story. You know, I had some wisdom teeth pulled. I had four pulled. Oh, okay. No, five. No, nine. I had nine wisdom teeth pulled. All of mine were impacted. They were all coming upside down. The roots were wrapped around my tongue, coming out my nose. They were tusks. I was a warthog. No anesthesia. They pulled them out with pliers. I was eating corn on the cob that afternoon. Pin the blue ribbon upon his chest. That knocks the socks off of my wisdom tooth tail. Why do people need to top other people? I've never understood it, and I see it all the time. Obviously, people get something out of it. At best, people wait for your lips to stop. Yeah, as soon as... Okay, yeah, you, me, you see the difference? You see that? Now I do. What is it about the human condition? People get something out of that. That's why I have a social fantasy. I wish I was one of the 12 astronauts who have been on our moon. They must love knowing they can beat anybody's story whenever they want. They can sit back quietly at a dinner party while some other person, some me monster, is doing his thing and let him go. Let him run with the line while you be quiet. Oh, really? Let him have his moment. Yeah, I'm a big traveler. I have my business. I got my own global enterprise I got to check on. You know, driving in the Autobahn because I keep a fleet of sports cars over in Zurich. And I got this Swiss account that I want to check on. Mount Kilimanjaro expedition. Might have to cancel that. You know, runway's an aspirin a lot shorter the first time you go in there. You know, the Pacific Rim Company. I'm going to try to take that over. Global enterprise. I walked on the moon. Well, you have the floor, moonwalker. You mentioned driving on the Autobahn. That reminded me. Once I was driving in the Sea of Tranquility. In my lunar rover. And two was worried about our speed till I remembered, wait, we're the only ones on the moon. You guys are great. Thank you very much.
I love that clip. And I think me monster is something that we need to, kind of terminology we need to incorporate. So I don't know if you guys plan to hang out together tonight afterwards. He has another clip from that same special about going to the eye doctor. It is wonderful. So just look up Brian Regan, eye doctor, completely worth your 5 minutes. But anyway, all right. But that's what it's like, right? I mean, I've never read anything where he has any I would not characterize him as a believer, but I mean, he pretty gets the human condition pretty well, right? I mean, it is, we're all me monsters. We're all sinners. We're selfish. We can become me monsters. And it's further really reinforced by society, right? You're told that, especially at your stage, that, hey, man, your whole life is before you. Go out and, you know, you need to look after you. That's who you need to look out. So that you need to look after. So, you know, Jack Google needs to look after Jack Google and pursue whatever makes Jack Google happy, right? And then, but we're really conditioned to think about us. And so from the text, the one question that was kind of govern everything, like the question I was going to ask you was, what if, or more importantly, what would our student ministry look like? Okay, so what would this group look like? What would our student ministry look like if we hoped and prayed for each other the same things that Paul hoped and prayed for the church in Ephesus? Let me say it one more time, and then we'll get into it. Okay, what would our student ministry look like if we hoped and prayed for each other the same things that Paul hoped and prayed for the church in Ephesus? And so let's just talk about what that means in the time that we have. All right. So I just had already mentioned, so the first thing that opens this section is Paul saying, for this reason. That means everything he's about to say is everything he just said. And I really think that both Elise and Alec had a great points about what Paul was trying to say in the first part that's going to kind of underpin everything he's about to say. First of all, the Trinity, the triune God, all three members involved in our salvation. Because of that, as Elise pointed out, our salvation is extremely secure. It's assured. It's a done deal. It's a assured thing. So Paul says, for this reason, because all that's true, and because I have heard, right? So what does Paul say he's heard about these people? So in verse 15, what does he say that he's heard about them? This is audience participation time. So I'm sorry. I thought the question mark was implied. So what has he heard about them? What characterizes this church in Ephesus? Grace? They're excellent. So he's heard about their faith and their love for all saints. And that's why we played the clip and why I posed the question. Because we really have two choices. So what if we came. And I am not saying for a second that this characterizes anybody. I'm just saying, I know as a sinner, I'm prone to be selfish if I'm not careful. But what if we came with the idea of being part of the body and not being a me monster? Wait, did it make sense? Oh, God, yes. Okay. I was like, you're right, you're good. I know it's hard. I mean, I would love to tell, I have to be careful about talking about me, and I love when he just makes the tentacles like me. What if we came though with the attitude of it not being about you but about us? And I want to say, first of all, I don't think this characterizes necessarily anybody. I think you got, I say wonderful things about you. I give you a hard time to your face. I say great things about you behind your back. That's not what people normally do, right? But I think you guys are great at supporting one another, rallying around one another when there's need. But what if we prayed for each other like Paul prays here? And let's talk about what that means. Okay. All right. Does anybody have their actual Bible that can read John 13:35? Oh, I hear delicate fingers turning pages. Yeah, 13:35. So Jesus says that one thing that's going to distinguish us from the world, and that the world's going to know, one way the world's going to know that we belong to him is if we love one another. And that's what Paul had noticed about this church in Ephesus. They were concerned about each other's welfare. But it went far beyond that. It wasn't just their welfare. He prays extraordinary things. And I just wonder, and I'm going to say it again, I just wonder what it would look like here if we prayed for those things for each other. And we're going to kind of draw some application here in just a second. But tomorrow you're going to go into a world, whether you're homeschool, public school, private school, whatever, you're going to go into a world that tells you it's all about you. You're going to watch TV and you're going to get these messages that it is about you. It's about your happiness. It's about your comfort. It's about all these things. And that are completely opposite the biblical message, right? And you're supposed to look out for yourself, supposed to take care of yourself. You're supposed to pursue happiness, sometimes at other people's expense. But that's not one thing I have here, and is that one thing that characterizes this stage of life. I'm not saying you, I'm just saying this stage of life, is that, and I say this as one, and I wish my mom was here. She was here last week. I kind of wish you could have recorded a testimonial, but she will tell you that when I was at your age, I thought the universe revolved around me. I thought the sun rose and set on all my activities, and it was just all about me. And not only are you going to go into a culture that says that, you're going to go into a culture of me monsters, right? I'm not going to ask you to raise your hand, but I bet you all have that one. If it's not, if you can't think of who it is, it's probably you. But you may have that friend that you think, oh, that's, I mean, not only can I do that, but like I have one friend in graduate school and I love with all my heart, but he is the most difficult person to talk to because he's a me monster. Like there's no point in even, I just have to say, oh, that's great. Yeah. I mean, because he's not interested in what I have to say. He wants to tell me about all his accomplishments, which is, so we all have those. And like I said, if you can't think of who it is, it might be you. I'm just saying. But you're going into a culture that gets you from both sides. Your peers are possibly me monsters, and then the culture's telling you that you are the one to look after, and that's not the message of the Bible. So let's just see what Paul does here, and I'm going to go through this a little bit quicker than I wanted to, and maybe it'll flesh out into small groups. But so what Paul does is first Paul gives thanks. He says, "I do not cease to give thanks for you," and I wondered, and when I say us, I mean me too. I'm not talking from the top of Mount Sinai here. I mean, we are in this together, right? And I just wonder, do we give thanks for one another? I mean, are you thankful that, you know, so-and-so's here? And so I kind of want to jump ahead to a point, but, you know, how might things change if we were thankful for one another? If you were to kind of survey the landscape of what all we have here, what might it look like if extroverts and introverts had a mutual appreciation, gave thanks for one another? Some of you are introverted, right? And what would it look like if you were thankful for the extroverted people who welcomed people and who are part of the social aspect of it? And then what would it be like for extroverts to be thankful that you have introverted people here who are maybe a little bit more contemplative, a little more quiet, right? You know, are there things about each other that we could appreciate and don't, we could give thanks for? So, in another division, and I'm going to address the idea of these labels here in a second. I'm just using these as examples. But what about the athletic versus the artistic? We have some very athletic people here. And, you know, are the artistic people thankful that, man, you know, God can do amazing things in the human body when I see my friends be athletic or do things? And then, you know, on the flip side of that, are you athletic people, you know, thankful that you have sisters and brothers in the body of Christ who are incredible poets, artistic? I can't draw a stick figure. I'm the least artistic person you will ever meet. And I'm so thankful, and I'm just amazed at some of the work that people your age can do. And I say your age because I had an artist in my class at GCA, and she was just amazing. I just cannot believe people, like the stuff can come out your hands, right? And that means music, poetry, whatever. And so are there things that you can, you know, what would it look like where instead of seeing these two groups as competing, more was it like if we were to give thanks for one another? And of course, you know, another one we could go into one was like public school and private and homeschool. You each have your own battles in these places, and rather than see it as two competing groups, why not appreciate the struggles that each one of those labels brings? Right? That's just the loudest system, sorry. Did that make sense? Did I ramble? Did that make sense to you guys? Anybody listening? Okay. So, all right. So the next thing Paul does is he gives thanks, but what? He never ceases to make mention of them in his prayers. He prays for them, right? He prays, so let's look at what he prays. He prays that they have a spirit of wisdom, that they would have a knowledge of God, that their hearts would be enlightened, that they would know the hope they're called for, that they would know the riches of their inheritance, the greatness of his power, the working of his great might, because he raised Christ from the dead. I know we sometimes just gloss over that, but this is a big deal. Dead men don't get up and walk, right? Unfortunately, we've handled there's the, everybody heard the familiarity breeds contempt. Like we talk about the resurrection so much, it's almost like it becomes, I think we lose sight of one person got up in history and walked out of a grave, right? It was Jesus Christ. That's it. No other person's done it. No other mythos, no other set of myths or religious system ascribes that to anybody. No other religion says, we had this guy who was dead, he got up and lived. Christianity's the only one that does that. But it was all through the mighty power of God. As Alec had brought up, right, he put all things under the feet of Christ because he raised him to the right hand. He puts all things under him, rule, authority, in this age, the age to come, and then as head of the church. And the church, us that know Jesus, are his body. If you read 1 Corinthians 12, we won't go there for time's sake, but 1 Corinthians 12, that's where Paul says that we're a body, and the ear can't say, I have no need of the eye, or the big toe's like, because I'm not an eye, I'm not going to do my job. It's not how a body works. Any healthy body has those members working in tandem, each performing their own role, right? We can't say that. And again, just to go back to those labels we talked about, you know, you extroverted people can't say, well, we don't need the introverted people. You absolutely do, right? The homeschool can't say, well, we don't need public school and vice versa, right? You can't say that. You can't, because you're members of the body of Christ, if you know Jesus, you can't do without the other one. It may not be obvious, why, but you just can't, right? There's a balance. And then we are the fullness of him is what Paul says. And so until Christ comes back, we are the fullness of Christ. We are his hands and feet until he gets here, right? Until he comes back, we are the hands and feet of Jesus. And so I would love to go to a scripture about that, but I'll try to bring it up some other time. But so I want to go to the application. First of all, has this made sense? Sometimes I feel like I'm rambling. I was especially passionate that I was filling this out. But all right, so a couple of points of application. As a body, each part needs every other part, right? Would somebody be willing to read Galatians 3, 27 through 29? Galatians 3, 27 through 29. That's fine. Google party of two. Google party of two. Sorry. Sorry, just sounds like that kind of microphone. Joy?
Okay. Galatians 3:27 through 29. Okay. For as many of you as were baptized into Christ have put on Christ. There is neither Jew nor Greek. There is neither slave nor free. There is no male or female, for you are all one in Christ Jesus. And if you are Christ, then you are Abraham's offspring, heirs according to promise.
And hopefully what you get from that is if think of the labels we talked about, introvert, extrovert, public school, homeschool, athletic, artistic. Paul just said that if you're in Christ, those labels mean nothing, right? There's neither Jew nor Greek, which was a big thing back in the day, right? Because ethnicity was a big thing to the biblical audience. That no longer mattered. Are you slave or free, which would imply a lot of social distinction? Doesn't matter. In Christ, those labels no longer apply. And so just a couple of random thoughts here I have. I still think we can fold them in. Was you're going to go into a school setting tomorrow somewhere, and it could very well be a Christian school. If it's public, it could still very well be a public Christian school. But certainly in a public school, I'm willing to bet that you have peers in your life who, first of all, don't care about Jesus. They don't care about your Jesus, right? I have lots of non-believing friends, but who care nothing for my Lord and Savior. And they may care about you. It's one thing to have friends who are non-believers. They may care about you, but they do not care about your testimony. It is very possible that your friends who are unbelievers are going to be a great source of social pressure, even though they know that you're a follower of Christ. They don't care about your testimony. That's why you may try to get pushed into drinking or sex or any other kind of activities, because they don't care about your testimony, right? Your brother and sisters here do. One thing we absolutely have to do is protect one another, because out there it doesn't matter. They don't care. And I'm not saying they don't care about you as a person. They absolutely do. But I guarantee you, I have a very good friend who is a non-believer, and I get along with him very well. But I guarantee you, if I said, if I want to do something distinctly unchristian, like, hey, you know, Gordon, let's go to the bar and hit all these different places, he'd be like, right on, man, let's go. Even though he knows I'm a believer, he doesn't care about my testimony, right? And all of which reflects on all of us. And so this is a place where you are to protect one another. And part of the reason why I put that is because part of the job of us is to protect us, right? This is the place where kind of goes back to the what if we prayed for one another like Paul did. What if we prayed that, let's say there's somebody in here that you don't necessarily get along with. What if you prayed that, you know, man, Lord, I hope that he gets just a revelation of the knowledge of you. Like, what? How would that change things? One note I have here is I get discouraged a lot when I see the kind of the social landscape at your age. There's a new suicide challenge out. Like, you don't know that my thoughts are like, Lord, please protect these kids from this ignorant mess. Like, it was going through WhatsApp, right? Yeah, it's out there. So it's through WhatsApp. It was called, is it the Momo challenge? Yeah. Yeah. Oh, I'm in the know, baby. I know stuff. So evidently you're connected. This random contact contacts people through Snap or WhatsApp, and you get several days of just random assignments or whatever. Ultimately, the last one are encouraging you to kill yourself, and they think it's it was the root of a suicide of a 12-year-old, I believe, in England. I'm just saying this kind of stuff's out there, and I'll look it up anyway. But Mr. Johnson nodded his head like he knew what I was talking about. Thank you. Yep. Anyway, so just look it up. But anyway, that's out there, and what? Oh, yeah, don't do that, yeah. Well, yeah, just know that kind of stuff is out there. This has to be the place where you can come and get that spiritual protection, where you can care for one another. You know, what would it be if Grace is already looking it up? So she didn't hear you. It's fine. Go ahead, look it up. Anyway, so all I'm saying, I guess the moral of this story is Paul gave thanks and loved the church at Ephesus, and I wonder again what it would be. Am I boring you? So what would it be like if we loved and appreciated one? What if we gave thanks for one another? What would it look like if instead of lamenting that we have, you know, nobody stepped up to lead the student ministry, like, oh, I wish some leaders would just step up and lead. How about you pray for it? How about you would pray for students to step up and lead? People to reach out, people to be able to coordinate social things. Did you see it? It's a real thing, isn't it? Oh, no, Justin's an idiot. He don't know anything. I am just playing. Gosh. Ooh. All right. So all I'm saying is maybe consider it. So as you read through this, what would it be like if you treated each other like that and hoped the things, same things for other people that Paul hoped for this church at Ephesus? Okay? And I'm way over time. I'm going to let that go, and I'm just going to pray, and then you guys can break into small groups and talk it out. So, all right, let's pray. Father, these students live in such a unique time. Social change, just the utter void of purpose that marks this generation. And you command us to go out into the world. And so I pray that above all, that we here at LifePoint, that we would be the brothers and sisters in Christ that you ask us to be, that regardless of the label, that we would first and foremost identify as a member of the body of Christ, and that regardless of background, what school, what our abilities are, that would mark us above all, and that everyone around us would know that we were your disciples because of our love for one another. And Father, I give thanks for these kids, their just their abilities, their personalities, their how that they can be used to serve you in your kingdom as they go forward in life. And I pray that wherever they are, whatever their spheres are, that they would be the light of the gospel to an unbelieving world that hates you. And Father, we don't say that lightly. Your word says that it's not that people are indifferent to Christ. People hate Christ. There is an enemy who hates Christ and wants people to hate Christ. And Father, we trivialize it sometimes, but this is spiritual warfare. Please, that we would fight for one another, that we would bring each other, before the throne of grace for the support we very desperately need. And even when we have done what we can do, that we would rest on the finished work of Christ and know that one day things will be put right and that tears will be wiped away. There'll be no pain, there'll be no sickness. But until then, we are the hands and feet of Christ. It's us who need to wipe away the tears. It's us who need to comfort in sickness. And so I pray for these small group discussions that they will be glorifying to you. And I pray this in Christ's name. Amen. All right, gang. Let's, you know the drill. Go.